Starving for a pocket of pills. Starlight and 24 film. It's easier than you think to find a thrill. Wake up, dance to the end. Sober, swing and won't pretend. Oh, I'm alive again. Oh, I feel alive again. Hey, will you waltz with me tonight? Say, will you waltz with me tonight? Let's pick it up on the all-night train. The city lights will remember our name. Stay and waltz with me for life. Many nights I slept alone, with TV shadows dancing on the wall, longing for some time and somebody to call. Wave goodbye to the yellow moon. Climb on out of your lonely room. Leave this house behind and I'll be there soon. Wink an eye to the stars and dust. This ain't the place to be giving up. Oh, I'm alive again. Oh, I feel alive again. Hey, will you waltz with me tonight? Say, will you waltz with me tonight? Let's pick it up on the all-night train. The city lights will remember our name. Say, and waltz with me for life. Can you life? It's been so long since I could believe in humankind.
You're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. I'm Taya Jay. I'm joined today by Michael MacArthur and Josh Davis here, joining him on the guitar. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being in the studio today.
Thank you, Taya. Thank you for having us. It's a joy to be here.
It's a pleasure. I'm going to take a wild guess and say that was Waltz for Life,
That's the song we just heard. Yes.
Excellent.
Nailed it.
So I know you gentlemen are on a bit of a radio tour right now across Colorado. Any highlights from your journeys yet?
Oh, well, we started in Boulder at a radio conference, which was amazing because we got to play with a full band there. And we played at, our show started at 12:45 at night, which is, most things don't start at 12:45, so that was interesting, but it was such a good time.
Was there an audience? Was there a crowd?
Yeah, there was an audience, and excellent. Everybody was having a great time. And the thing about those types of events is everybody that's there loves music so much, so they want to see it all. And we had the best time. Like the guys in the band, Josh and I are from Florida, but the rest of the guys are from Nashville, and we've all separately probably played thousands of shows over the years. But this was our first show together as a unit, and we had the best time.
It was a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So something about the dynamic of having all of you in the same place was really working.
Yes. Yeah. Stayed at the same hotel, hung out, you know, went for walks, went to lunch. And one thing we didn't get to do was jump in a river together, but next time.
Next time. You two could accomplish that here.
We did.
We jumped in the Roaring Fork River.
Excellent.
Well, I'd say jumped. We crawled in.
Trying
not to slip over the stones. Yeah, slip over the stones. That was awesome.
That's excellent. Michael, talk to me a little bit about your process for songwriting. I know that you write a lot of personal material. I think you show up really honestly and genuinely and vulnerably in the work that you do. Talk to me a little bit about that process. How do you connect with your creativity?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, for me, the lyric is how I stay connected to the song. So the substance of the song and what it means, I don't always know. Sometimes I do, with a song like "O Sedona" that was written for my grandmother. So that is specific, but some of them take a little bit to figure out what they're about. But it's sort of like a subconscious thing. So as a songwriter, for me, I have to just pay attention to what my gut is telling me, and not be afraid to go deep. So I'll say it always starts on a guitar. On this guitar, probably 95% of the songs I've written have been written on this guitar, and I sit down and play a little bit, and it's kind of hard to explain. It's not, I don't think it's like this, the gift of, like some gift that comes down from anywhere. I just think that, you know, our minds are these brilliant machines, and something about a chord progression or the way that you play a chord reminds you of something, and so something comes out. And if you're paying attention, if it's good, you know, you're able to sort of go down that road and chase that idea. So I do, you know, I spent most of the time on the lyrics, and, you know, I'm editing lyrics up until the time I record the song.
Wow.
So, and it could be something as simple as changing a letter, like, oh, I don't want to say the word "the" there, or just finessing it to the point where it's like, this feels like, if you read the lyrics, sometimes a song is great and then you read the lyrics and you're like, oh, this not as good as I thought it was, but not knocking in any song, but I want people to be able to read the lyrics and be like, oh, that's like a piece of poetry.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Do you write things other than songs? Like, do you consider yourself a writer as well as a songwriter?
Yeah, I love to write.
Yeah.
I love to write, which is interesting because I hated school, and I don't know if most writers like loved English class or something like that, or literature or whatever, but I don't read very many books, but I love to write, and I write poetry. I use the word poetry very loosely, because
sure,
like there are real poets out there, and I would never want to, like, you know, like, I don't know, make them upset with me. But yeah, so I've got hundreds of poems that I've written, and sometimes I'll pull a line out of a poem and use that in a song.
Yeah. What about when you're living your life, walking down the street, do you get inspiration where you're like, that's a lyric for a song, that's gonna turn into a song? Do you have moments where that kind of like spark happens?
Oh, for sure.
Day to day.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Or having conversations with people, somebody might say something in an interesting way, whether they were trying to or not, and I'm like, that's, you know, Josh and I have talked about this before, and I'm always trying to, because like, in most things have been said, but we're all individuals living our individual lives. There's always a more personal to your own human experience. There's always a more personal way to say something that might be different than the way that somebody else has said it. Mm. So you might be saying the same thing like, oh, she broke my heart, or, and then I cried. But if there's a way to put that, that is not she broke my heart and I cried, that's interesting, it might resonate with people in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a certain amount of universality to that, that even though it's a unique experience to you, or you're expressing it in a unique way, chances are somebody who's listening is going to be able to relate to that.
Absolutely. And I'm a huge believer in the more specific that you can get, the more relatable it is. So if you're like, to go with the, if you're describing a place and you're talking about the red brick road and the live oak trees and the Spanish moss and the breeze coming across the front porch.
Sounding like something I know.
Yeah. Even if you don't have that exact experience, something in there could remind you of an experience that you had.
Yeah. Nicely said.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, let's take a listen to something else. What should we hear next?
Okay. So, this is a song called "O Sedona," and, I wrote it for my grandmother, and she passed right before the pandemic hit. So our family never got a chance to celebrate her life. And I would spend my summers visiting her in Arizona. And she lived in a place called Cottonwood, which is close to Sedona. And she would take me to Sedona. And being from Florida and going to Arizona, that might as well have been Mars, because the terrain is so different. You got the red rocks and all that. And so anyway, I wrote this song as my way to thank her for what she did for me and memorialize her. So this is O Sedona.
The stars will cry over cottonwoods. The stars will cry over cottonwoods. You gave all you had, much more than most would. Oh, Sedona, you were good to me. You belong among the red sandstone. You belong among the red sandstone. Just as the Oak Creek knows the moon is gold. Oh, Sedona, you were good to me. It's a damn shame I didn't say goodbye.
We just heard O Sedona from Michael MacArthur, accompanied by Josh Davis on guitar, joining me today in the KVNF studio. It's really a pleasure to have you both here.
So good to be here.
What was your grandmother's name?
Her name was Margaret, Margaret MacArthur.
Margaret,
yeah.
Okay.
And she was great. She was a great person.
Yeah.
She's like, she taught me how to play cards. I played canasta and rook and all those, you know, older person games.
I love it. I love it. Did she teach you gin rummy?
Yes, at some point.
Excellent.
And it was crazy because they would play, we'd play for hours and they'd been playing for years. Mm. But I was a kid, I was like 13, and I would just completely clean up. I just obliterate them. And my granddad would just get mad and get up off the table. Oh, I can't believe this. You know, he would just walk away, grab a cinnamon roll or something. I don't.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Michael, I want to talk a little bit about your upcoming album.
Okay.
I know that during the pandemic, you were writing a lot of songs and you were recording demos of those songs. And that was sort of what makes up this upcoming album. But talk to me a little bit more about Milky Stars. I know it's coming out on September 16th of this year. Talk to me a little more about it.
Yeah. So during the pandemic, it was sort of the, you know, I've been on the road making EPs or recording. I recorded an album and toured for over the course of basically 10 years. And home was always this sort of this place of solace and creativity for me. Coming home was always great because I didn't spend a ton of time there. But it changes the game when you have no choice but to be home. And it was the sort of, in my life, the longest I had ever been in isolation and away from people. And I think a lot of people have that story. Mm-hmm. So some people were very productive during the pandemic. And in the beginning, I 100% was not, mm-hmm. you know, because we were serious about staying home. We went to the grocery store and got enough groceries for a month. And I didn't leave the house for a month, except for to like walk, go for a walk or something, or run. But after a few months had passed, I finally started writing songs again. And every time I write a song, I'd make a demo of it. And it's usually just a solo acoustic thing. And I sent a few of those demos to a guy named Jakir King, who is a producer hero of mine. And if I could make an album with anybody, it would have been him. So I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how long we would be home. So I was like, well, I mean, I'm going to sit around and wait. Might as well just see what happens. And so I cold DM'd him on Instagram. That's how I, because we weren't connected anyway. So if anybody's listening, it does work.
Just get lost.
Yeah, they don't always get lost. I've had a lot of things get lost over the years. But like 2 weeks later, he wrote back and he was just like, man, I love these songs. Let's get on the phone. And we probably had 10 or 12 hour-long phone conversations before we would eventually get into the studio. And it was like over the course of 8 months. And then so April and May of 2021, we made the album, which was originally 10 songs. And between the time we finished the album and last December, he had been sending it to some people because he's well-connected and respected in the industry. And he sent it to Transoceanic Records. And they loved it. And they loved it so much that they got everybody back together to record two more songs, which was Run Around in a Common Ground. And so now we have a 12-song album, and now we're here. Now we're together with you. So it's like it's crazy because I went from being a completely independent artist, where I was doing everything, booking the shows, making the music, booking the shows, paying for everything, did Kickstarter campaigns, spent savings, all that stuff, and to go from that to having I think there's 12 or 15 people on the team. And everybody is thinking about how do we get people to hear this is just amazing.
Yeah, very surreal. I imagine, though, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it gives you more of an appreciation for all the work that goes into making something happen like that when you've been doing it yourself, from building yourself as an artist up from the ground up.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I wouldn't have wanted it any other way because I understand what it takes and I've done a lot of it before. And there's some aspects of it that I've never was able to do. Like the radio thing and being on a radio tour and stuff like that. So I do appreciate it. I feel lucky too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take a listen to something else if you gentlemen are ready. What should we hear next?
This is a song called Run Around. This is one of the ones that we went back to Nashville to record. All right.
It's all night long, a stranger blowing up her phone. So try to say that she don't know. Here we go. Well, can't you tell that she don't play the lie so well? And neither could the souls who fell. Well, here we go. Listen up, son. Never gonna be fast enough. Doesn't matter if you think she's fun. She's going to town and she's running around. Rainbows in. You're sitting way wondering how to tempt trouble again. Here we go. Quickest way to make circles is tie a knot in your blindfold. Well, here we go. Listen up, son. You're never gonna be fast enough. Doesn't matter if you think she's fun. She's going to town and she's running around. Listen up. and the damage is done. She's going to town and she's running around. Chase for the keep, not the rush. Hunt for the gold, not the blood. It's the same old thing. Dirty road, dusty wings. Tell me, my friend, you get on. Get close enough. Won't matter when the damage is done. She's going to town and she's running around her. Listen up, son, now you're never gonna run far enough. It won't matter when you're ash and dust. She's going to town, still running around.
I'm joined today on Talking Music by Michael MacArthur, accompanied by Josh Davis on guitar. I heard that song, I read this, and I'm forgetting now where I read this, but I read it described as, quote, a raw slice of bluesy country soul. And I just love that.
Awesome.
I know that you also just put out a music video for this song. I'm really curious about this idea of taking something that's kind of, you know, personal and vulnerable, the story that you created, and bringing it to life in a visual way. Will you talk about that a little bit?
Of course, yeah. So it was... You know, for me, on the surface, it's a simple song. It's a very simple lyrical idea, but the meaning of the song goes so much deeper than that. So it's like, it's not so much about the female character in this song, although she is a central character, and it's more about one's inability to value themselves. You know, so it's sort of like, if you think that's what you deserve, then that's all you're ever going to have. So run around is that cycle of taking yourself down to lift someone else up, or putting someone down to be lifted up. Mm-hmm. So working with director Luis De Pena, he's in Los Angeles, we came up with this concept of, since there is a story within the story in the song, why don't we put together this video where it's sort of like a dream within a dream. So whoever's listening, if you go watch the video, it is a dream happening within the dream. And so that was sort of the idea. And it's like in the video, I'm playing a character, not necessarily playing myself, but playing the character. And the character in the music video is chasing after this person who only exists in the dream world. So, and the crazy thing about making that video is, we put it to get the idea together in a couple of weeks, and I flew out to Joshua Tree, well, Palm Springs, and then I drove to Joshua Tree and spent 2 days out there. And the majority of the filming happened between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m.
Wow.
So it felt like a dream because it was really late, because that would have been, we're on East Coast time, so that would have been 1 to 5 for me, you know? And there's one of the bar scenes where the character comes out and gets in the car and drives away. And when we were in between takes, there's like coyotes running across the street, and Joshua Tree's like Mars too. So it felt like a dream, but then it turned out great.
Yeah. Excellent. I'm curious about the idea of creating a visual story while also letting the song shine, mm-hmm. right? Because we're like a culture that loves to be over inundated. And I think one of the beautiful things about music is you get to kind of create a story in your head while you're listening to
right.
it. But I also love music videos. I love seeing the way that stories manifest in songs manifest in a visual way. So I'm curious about how you kind of strike a balance between letting the song shine, but also telling this story alongside the song?
That's a great question. And I love the way you put that. And, you know, my hope is that, because we released the song about a month ago and the video came out, I think 3 weeks after that. So, and I'm the same. I love to imagine, like when I'm hearing a song, create that imagery in my head of what it's about. And then if the music video is something completely different, I'm like, holy, you know, that's amazing. I didn't even think about it like that. So my hope is that people get both, you know, a story that is created by the director and myself and all that, and then have their own version too. Because yeah. I feel like when you listen to a song, your own, like when you write a song, an artist will say this, and I totally agree, is that once it's released, it doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to everyone else. So your version of what any particular song means is the most important version.
Yeah, I love that. I think about it in the same sense of, you know, books that they turn into movies and how they don't manifest the way that you expected them to, but you kind of get to go on like a second journey with the story all over again in a whole new way.
Yeah, exactly.
Michael, I'm curious, how do you feel like your sound has changed? This is your sophomore album, right?
Yes.
So how do you feel like your sound is evolving or changing, or do you feel like it's evolving or changing?
Absolutely. It's changed a lot over the years, and Josh can probably attest to that. he's been around since the beginning, and, you know, some of the... there are a lot of songs that are not very good, but yeah, it's been a ride. But I mean, I think that's part of any creative journey. Nobody comes out of the womb fully formed and developed. And it's the same with creativity. You know, if you spend enough time with it, you figure out what, aspects of what you do are truest to who you are as a person and what you love about music and how you stay connected to it. And if you can pinpoint those things and sort of pull them out of the ashes of the songs of days past, you know, that's all that matters. So I feel like when people listen to Milky Stars, I hope that they'll notice that it's a pretty eclectic mix of songs in terms of styles. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they all belong together, but you know, I was influenced by so many different types of music growing up, and that comes through. And so when I first started writing, I thought that that was a weakness. Mm. I thought that that was like, well, you know, because I don't sound like a thing, mm-hmm. you know, or the songs don't sound like this, all the songs don't sound like this pinpointed thing, this focused thing. But now I've embraced it, and it's just, it is what it is. It's when I sit down, sometimes I write one that's soulful, and sometimes it's folky, and sometimes it's bluesy, and that's it. That's all I got, you know? So I want to keep riding that wave.
Yeah, I love that. And so many musicians that I talk to, it seems like, are really interested in just not pigeonholing themselves into one genre or one area, keeping it wide open and letting the creativity kind of take them wherever it takes them. And I also think that you might appeal to a diversity of people by being more like that, right? You might find someone who totally resonates with a bluesy song and maybe not so much with another type, but
for sure.
Yeah, this is a broader reach as well.
Absolutely. Well, because I think that most people have more than one taste. You know, like nobody eats pizza every day, although I probably could.
I know a few people. We've got Adam nodding in the background.
You know, but you know, you like different types of food and you like different types of music and different types of movies. And so I think it's great.
Yeah, we're complex beings.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on your radio tour through Colorado. We really appreciate you making time. Appreciate you sharing. I'm going to have you take us out on one last song, if you're willing and able. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you. Thank you for having us. This has been amazing. All right.
Turned up drunk again. Heaven knows I've been low before, but I sure could use a friend. Lady Luck, I'm in a